What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, thanks for tuning in. As you know, I'm hanging out here with Scott Benjamin, the auto editor of HowStuffWorks.com. My name is Ben, and I'm the guy who asks you questions, right, Scott?
That's the way it works, yeah.
We've got to be honest. We live in a city with a lot of traffic, and one of the things that happens when you're stuck in traffic, I don't know about you, but it happens to me pretty frequently, road rage.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Wait. Are you the receiver of, or are you the person with road rage?
You know, I've tried to picture, you know, what kind of type of road rager I would categorize myself as. And I think I'm a quiet seether.
Oh, okay.
I'm just waiting for a chance to honk my horn. Mm-hmm. I have no mistake about that.
Okay.
But I think that driving aggressively or yelling at people really just runs the risk of making it worse for everybody. And I've honestly worked on this. I don't really vocalize it or anything. What kind of road rager would you say you are?
Oh, boy. I'm an under-the-breath swearing
type of
road rager. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Unfortunately, that's a bad habit. But no, I don't. I don't even touch my horn ever.
Really?
I mean, yeah, maybe just the polite little, mm-hmm. please move ahead type of honk. You know, the little couple
tap,
of
tap.
Taps on it. Yeah. I don't. I don't ever just lay on the horn and get on someone's bumper or anything like that. And I may, on occasion, get a tiny bit aggressive. Uh-huh. And drive a little bit too close to somebody, you know, just to make a point. But it's not something I'm proud of.
Well, see, okay, I understand. You're probably not using your horn that often because you have a factory horn, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Mine emits a stream of curse words.
Pretty funny. Almost made me fall off the chair.
I wish it was true, but I'm working.
You need an air horn.
I need
like
an
that,
air horn.
You know, like a dual-note air horn. Maybe something like a train sound.
Oh, man, yes. Yes, I am on the team.
Some of the old, I think it was Buick Rivieras, had a dual-note air horn. My aunt had one of these, I know this. She had a dual-note air horn that sounded just like a train horn, and it was awesome. It was super loud, and I don't think that she was one to kind of, you know, adjust that type of thing. Now, my uncle was he was an engineer at GM.
So he tinkered.
He did, and that's the only reason I'm cautious about this is that he may have something to do with that, but I don't think so. I think that it was standard that way.
That is so awesome.
It was really cool.
Well, I'm going to work on that, but in the meantime, man, I'm getting closer and closer to doing something, crazy, to be honest.
That's not
and
good.
What it sounds like would be better for both of us, other than modifying our car horns or getting helicopters, would be if there was some place where we could purposely just take out our aggression, maybe, I don't want to say cause some accidents.
There's a place perfect for you.
Are
perfect for you.
Are you talking about L.A.?
No, just kidding. Not L.A. No. And sometimes the highways around Atlanta here seem that way, but I'm talking about the Demolition Derby.
The Shangri-La of road rage.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. This is where it's legal. You're expected to do that. You're expected to just smash those other cars into little bits.
Well, let's break it down for people who don't know yet. What is a demolition derby?
Yeah, I guess there are some people that probably don't know what demolition derby really is. It's, in simplest terms, it's just a collection of vehicles that are placed in a field, an area, I guess a playing field, usually blocked out with cement barriers or huge logs or something like that, or an arena. And they just drive into each other until there's only one vehicle left running, or one vehicle that can drive. Sometimes they're still running, but they can't drive.
And that's the winner.
And that's the winner, the one that the last man standing or last woman standing.
And we see these at car shows.
Car
shows, but we saw these. They were almost like variety shows because there were the demolition derbies. I saw one with. Is it too early to bring him in? One of my favorite characters.
Oh, bring him,
Truckosaurus.
Oh,
do you remember
yes,
Truckosaurus?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Okay,
yeah.
So this gigantic. I mean, I was a kid at the time. So this gigantic, vaguely Tyrannosaurus looking thing constructed out of cars that was breathing fire.
Mm-hmm. I believe that would pick up cars and drop them. Right.
It would pick up cars and drop them, which blew my mind as a child.
You and I have both seen this then, because I saw this at the Pontiac Silverdome in the 80s.
You saw Truckosaurus?
I did. Or some, I forget if it's called Truckosaurus or Robosaurus or something like that.
Something like that.
Whatever it was huge.
Yeah.
Picked up a car, held it in its clutches while it held it in the air above itself, and then opened its mouth and blew fire onto the car, and then dropped it from several stories up. It was way up in the air. Is that the similar experience you had?
Yeah.
That thing was awesome. And I don't know where it is. I'm sure that somebody has purchased it. It's got to be in someone's garage or someone's collection.
And that might be a story for another day.
Oh, yeah,
for sure. I remember that also when we saw that, there was a demolition derby there, and I thought those people were going to be seriously injured or die, because they're really hitting each other, right?
Yeah, there's some serious accidents. I mean, and they're all intended, of course. They're all, that's the point of this thing, is that everybody is in the same area, the same zone, the same arena, or wherever you saw them.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in a minute, because there are different surfaces and different areas you can find these things happening. But yeah, they have all the glass removed from the cars, so they're safe that they won't have the windshield come in on their face or something like that.
Right.
Other than that, I mean, the doors are probably welded shut. I'm not sure that's the case in every situation, because we'll talk about that too. But
okay.
Doors and hoods, and I don't think the hood is, just for safety, so they can get at fires if they have to.
Yeah.
But no windows. The drivers wear a helmet. They have seat belts, and that's about it. That's really all you need. I don't even know if you need a driver's license, Ben. You may have to be, 16, and that might be good enough in some cases.
Just sign a waiver, huh?
Again, speculation on my point, but I think that's the way it works.
Well, and these things have been around for a little bit of time. Maybe I'm no expert on the history, but I know that the first really promoted and popular demolition derbies date back to the 50s.
No kidding. Yeah. I didn't know they went back that far. That's pretty interesting. So they've been around for almost, 60 years now?
It only really takes two cars to have road rage.
That's right. I guess if you get two cars in a field and see which one can last, I guess.
Now let's go to where these occur. You said there could be some different surfaces.
Yeah. Yeah,
and does this tie into, I mean, are these people just banging the crap out of each other?
Well, they really are, and this is also, oddly enough, this is kind of one of the safety things. And you'll understand as I tell you, but
okay.
The way I remember seeing this, now I haven't been to a demolition derby in, 20 years, long time. It's been maybe even longer. These happen at county fairgrounds, state fairgrounds. Like you said, at the monster truck events or the indoor events like that, they have these. So on all these different surfaces, so they've got pavement is really unlikely because they can go too fast. the idea is that they put them on dirt or something that's like a loose loose material that, you know, it's less easy to get traction. Dirt, even there, you're going to be able to get a lot of speed. The way I remember them from 20 years ago, you know, 25 years ago, is mud.
Mud, yes.
Lots of mud. And this was doubly exciting because, you know, you're seeing cars that are just sliding all over the place in mud, which is fun anyways.
Yeah.
And, you know, the era that I'm talking about, these were the 20-foot-long Cadillacs and 20-foot-long Oldsmobiles, and mm-hmm. they were huge vehicles, land yachts. And it was just exciting to see these rear-wheel drive cars sliding around and banging into each other. It was a lot of fun. Now, the mud also has another fun aspect to it for the fans, I guess, in that, you know, if the cars turn the right way and accelerate, they spray the crowd with mud.
Oh, right.
And,
yeah.
you know, that's exciting when you're a kid, you know, like you get sure. sprayed with all the stuff. It kind of hurts a little bit, but it's fun.
And for Gallagher fans,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah, that's
they
right.
love that.
Yeah, that's right. So, but the idea is that, you know, if you're on mud, less speed, mm-hmm. less chance of a really severe, you know, end-to-end run for one driver to smash into the other one and, you know, possibly cause death. I mean, these things are really hitting each other. So the idea is that, you know, if they're on pavement, they can get a lot more speed and it could be a lot more serious.
Now, I've got a strategy question for you here, because
yeah.
it sounds like mud is more of a safety thing.
It is. It's yeah. it's also just, it's fun.
It's fun.
But yeah.
yeah, it serves a couple purposes.
Yeah, sure.
But with strategy, if, let's say you and I were in a demolition derby and I wanted to bust somebody's car. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get three people. So Jerry, our producer, congratulations, is also in this demolition derby with us. and let's say Jerry wants to win, and so Jerry rams your car, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it possible that she could render her own car undrivable?
That's right. And there's a strategy involved, like you had mentioned a couple times here, that there's definitely a strategy. You're going to protect the front end of your own car. That's the engine. That's what you want to keep that running, maintain that. You know, you don't want to dump out all of your coolant all over the track.
Okay.
So you want to use the back end of your car as much as possible to smash into everybody else. So you're spending a lot of time in reverse. And you're trying to just ram the front end of your opponent's car with the back end of your car as many times as possible and as hard as possible. And another thing that I just thought of, and I forgot about this, there are times when these cars will jump up and out of the pit or the area that they're contained within. So if somebody rams a car hard enough, it can go sideways or forwards or whatever, up uh-huh. and out of the track, and they're out. They're done. They can't get back in, of course, because you
well,
can't
that's
drive
reasonable.
Back over. Unless there's some way they can rock the vehicle back into the arena.
Well,
but,
I mean, if
man,
you're out of bounds, you're
I tell you,
out of
I've
bounds.
Got a lot of good memories about watching this stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, really. I mean, county fairs, I just had a lot of fun going to those. I'd go to them every year.
Yeah?
Yeah, you? You've been to them, right?
I've been to them. I mean, I'm from Tennessee, so
oh, well, of
it's
course.
Kind of, I think you lose your Tennessee passport.
Have you ever? I didn't know you needed a passport to get to them. Okay, anyways. I have also seen a school bus demolition derby. I've not...
All school buses?
All school buses, yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, these types of things happen. I mean, there'll be specialty vehicles that will be in these things, you know, like we'll only allow, I'm going to make this up, ice cream trucks.
Okay.
School buses. School buses are another popular one. They like to do school bus figure eight races at these tracks, too.
Oh, yeah, because they're front-wheel drive, right, most school buses?
No, they're rear-wheel drive.
They are?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yep, they're rear-wheel drive. They have huge, long drive shafts that go all the way to the back of the vehicle. They're
no idea.
Unbelievably top heavy.
Yeah,
they're fun to watch. Kind of scary when a school bus rolls over and catches on fire, though. Instantly,
that's a little, instantly.
Well, yeah, these are old school buses, you know, that are maybe not in the best of condition. Of course, you know, this is their last hurrah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing with these demolition derby cars as well, is that, you know, you don't take your daily driver out and compete
sure.
in one of these. These are car. This is the end of the line for these cars. Mm-hmm. The next stop is the junkyard.
Mm-hmm.
They're most likely not going to compete in another demolition derby event unless it's that evening, kind of like you graduate into the finals type thing.
Right.
This is it. So these cars are in the worst possible condition ever. You know, there are guys doing body work on them with sledgehammers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of vehicle you're talking about. Just not a surface
sure.
isn't dented or painted or really mangled.
Yeah,
but
because you know what's going to happen to them. At the end,
these
are probably cars that cost less than $1,000.
That's right. They're just going to be sold for scrap metal, and that's about it.
Scott, one of the questions that some people will ask, I'm sure, are why would someone do this?
Why would it? Well, just simply because it's fun, I guess. I mean, I can't think of much more of a reason why you would want to do this, and it's just competition. In as in anything else, you know, you just a way to something to win, I guess. I don't know how better to explain it than that. I don't know where the origins of this thing came from. I don't know how it all started, or you know, how big it was, or how little it was to start with. But I do know that, you know, people gain satisfaction from winning.
Sure.
And this is just another thing they can win at, I guess. I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot of athletic ability, I believe. And, you know, someone may write in and say, are you crazy? I have to be in top shape to do this. But
sure. Well, you have to have some pretty good reflexes.
You know who else was a demolition derby driver that I just thought of?
Who?
Pinky Tuscadero.
Pinky Tuscadero?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
man.
I'm guessing that a lot of our listeners probably haven't heard of Pinky
probably
Tuscadero.
Probably never heard of him.
Happy Days, the Fonz's sometimes girlfriend, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Pinky Tuscadero was a professional demolition derby driver.
Wow.
I know. Long pause there. And I think...
I mean, I was really thinking about
it. I have to believe that I think that the Fonz probably participated in a demolition derby event at some point. Isn't that where... Now, there was something called... The Kalachi Crunch or the Karachi Crunch or something like that. This is
yes.
Testing the limits of my memory, but something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, his vehicle stopped right in the middle. These two guys approaching from me. It's like a double T-bone, I guess.
Yes.
Terrible, terrible accident. Left the Fonz really broken up. I'm kidding. I don't know what happened really, but it was something like that. There's a move like that. You know what? I'm going to quit talking about this right now, and we should just wrap this up.
No, okay. You know what, though? Okay. All right. You win.
I'm really dating myself.
Well, no. We've got some good stuff here about demolition derbies, but I can't let you go unless I ask you a couple more questions. I mean, okay. This is my job. Okay. Are you trying to get me fired?
No.
I'm kidding.
No, not that.
We have gone over what it is, where, and why it happens, right?
Sure.
For me, I would say I agree with what you're saying because it's fun. And to add on, for some people, I'm sure it's stress relief, you know, when it starts out that way.
I would think so, yeah.
And when we're closing with this, I have to ask you, I think this is pretty pertinent. Would you do this, Scott?
You know what? I think I would. I would. Yeah, just because I think I'd like to do one in the mud, though. I think I'd like to be
definitely in the mud.
And, you know, like the county fairground under the lights, you know, that Saturday night, that type of thing, packed stands.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun. But I got to tell you, I don't know, since I haven't been to one in so long, and we talked about the type of cars that we had seen in these events a long time ago.
Land boats.
Yeah. I don't know if, you know, what have they got out there now? Saturns and, you know, Ford Escorts?
Oh, I hope not.
I mean, it couldn't be the same. I just haven't seen one in so long that I don't know what it's like. I would like to do one kind of old school, you know, where you have the giant vehicles. To me, it just seems safer, but maybe that's not true.
Maybe we'll have to go to old school night at the Demolition Derby.
And there might be something like that. There may be a division or a class for something like that. I don't know. I think it'd be interesting. I'd like to do it. How about you?
I would love to. I would love to jump into a junk car and do that right now. I mean, we could be on the same team. We could be on a different team if you promise not to take it personally. You know, we would have a lot of fun with this. And, of course, we should probably also put in our disclaimer, we would only really have fun with this if we were in the mud in a place that was specifically for that purpose, you know.
I don't know. It might be fun in the parking structure.
It might be fun.
No, I'm kidding.
We have a heck of a parking deck.
We do. A lot of expensive cars down there.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. We probably don't want to mess with this.
No, we don't want to do that. Bad news.
I guess that wraps it up here. This is from a listener's suggestion, right? Demolition Derby?
That's right. This whole topic was from a listener. Dylan from Minnesota wrote in and said that, you know, he wanted to hear something about Demolition Derby. He actually wanted to know about the history of it, but I'm not sure if it's really all that clear. It's just not that cut and dried.
Yeah, we might have to touch on the history maybe at a later date, but what we can say is that it goes back to the 50s. It's gone on for a while, and because it depends on a lot of cars that are, as Scott said, a step away from the junkyard, we can infer that the evolution of Demolition Derby, at least the type of vehicles used, have probably changed with the type of vehicles produced. So if you find a Demolition Derby today, the odds are it will be very different. You'll see some very different vehicles.
Yeah, so you have to kind of take a look back and maybe mm-hmm. see some old photos of what it used to be like, what it was like, you know, kind of in the middle of the range, and mm-hmm. what it's like now.
Yeah.
Big difference, I'm sure.
Yeah, but hopefully it's still just as much fun. And
I don't see how it could not be just as much fun, because you're talking about smashing cars up in mud.
Yeah. Oh, man, I mean, I'm gonna try to find one if I can go.
Great way to get your aggression out.
Yeah.
Get rid of that road rage.
And so I guess we're good on this one, huh?
That's it.
So we're going to try to keep our road rage choked down to a low, hateful murmur and until we can find a Demolition Derby. Thanks to our listeners for tuning in. This was a fun one, I think.
It was fun. Yeah, I enjoyed this one a lot.
Yeah, and so if you have any ideas for a topic or a suggestion for an upcoming episode, please send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota bZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.